Well, Walt kicked off our next eight weeks last week, and he spoiled you. the version I got to hear was even shorter because we didn't start recording till after the Walt Terry story there. So were you weren't here? He told a story about you guys. So fictional, but unfortunately you'll never hear it because we don't have it now. So do what? 4 minutes, that's okay. That's okay. That was half the sermon. Missing 4 minutes. the series that we're in is a series called Core. And Walt, right before I left for vacation, he said, "Can you give me a refresher about that?" And I didn't get back with him, so he didn't get a chance to get you guys started on that. But he started the series with one of the core elements. Core, it's the core. You know, when we talk about our core, and we got the little guy up there doing his little sit-ups. I tried to find something, because when you talk about core, it's tough to get an image that's not, you know, some hard body. You know, we don't really want to have that up on a screen on a Sunday morning to come greet you, but make us all feel bad about what we don't have. So I thought a stick figure would be more appealing. But core, it's the fundamental elements of our faith, the core elements of our faith, the necessary parts, the necessary pieces, the foundational pieces, the parts of our faith that if we were to take one of them, if we were to remove one of them from our life, our faith would crumble, just like a huge, a giant Jenga puzzle. And you pull that last piece out and it just crumbles. Core elements of our faith, the things our faith is based on. One of those pieces is contentment. And Walt shared about that last week to kick us off, that contentment is learned, that it's learning that we submit to the Lord. It's learning that we serve the Lord. It's learning that we put our trust in the Lord. And so we're going to piggyback off of Walt's first message, and we're grabbing that last point and pulling that out about trusting in God. And so today we're talking about faith in trust, prayer. Prayer is one of the key places where we see our trust in God show up. We see it manifest directly connected to our prayer life. Our prayers are special to God. Did you know that? Did you know that your prayers are special to God? My prayers are special to God. Our prayers are special to God. So special to Him. Do you know that He treasures them? Do you know that He keeps your prayers? Did you know that? He keeps our prayers. I love this picture. In the book of Revelation, we read about this. In Revelation chapter 5, we read, "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." Is that cool? Is that cool or what? I mean, John gets to go up into heaven and he gets to walk into the throne room of God. And among all of the different things that he sees up there, he makes sure to write this down. That he saw these angels and he saw these golden bowls of incense. And he is very clear of what that incense is. That incense, that's our prayers. That's the prayers of God's people that he keeps, that he stores, that he treasures, that the prayers, your prayers, my prayers, how special does that make you feel? Well, that should make us feel special. Just kind of soak that in just a little bit of how important it is for God to hear from us. How important it is to him that you're so important to God that he treasures your prayers, that he keeps your prayers. I remember years ago, one morning, I had a missed call from my wife, and there was a voicemail that went along with it. And so when I pulled the voicemail up to listen to it, it was my boys. They were wanting to call and just blow me hugs and tell me that they loved me. And so the next slide should have that audio. It should start. They're blowing me hugs. I'm I need to blow him a hug, if you can't understand the five-year-old, four-year-old language there. This was from January of 2011. Isaiah was four. He just turned 11 yesterday. Judah was three. And I still have that message saved on my phone. That's still on my phone. Because I treasured it. I kept it because I treasured it. Because it was my boys saying they loved me. It was my boys saying that they wanted to blow me hugs. Because they were thinking about me. They wanted their mom to call me my wife and leave a message with me. Just because they wanted to say, I love you. I want to blow you hugs. And I kept that. And that seems very natural for me to keep something like that, for any of us to keep something like that. So why would it be surprising that God would keep our prayers? That God would keep those voicemails if we can, I don't even feel right minimalizing it to that, but that illustration there of the voicemails. God keeps our prayers. Our prayers mean something to him. Because they're evidence that there's a relationship, that we're part of that relationship, that we're a reciprocating contributor to that relationship. Because we're talking to him, because we want to talk to him, because we want to tell him that we love him, because we want to blow him hugs, because we're thinking about him, because he's special to us. That's what our prayers represent when we talk to him. When we sit down and have a conversation with him, when we pray, that communicates to him that we're in the relationship too. That we're thinking about him, that we love him. And we have a relationship with God. And that's why we trust. That's why we trust. We trust him because we have a relationship with him. And communication is an essential part of any relationship. I think we've all lived long enough to know that. Communication is an essential part of any relationship. You can't have a relationship without communication. And when we pray, it reveals our love for God. It reveals our desire to stay connected with him, to draw near to him. Let's write this down. This is why we trust. Praying shows that we love God, and staying in constant communication with him draws us closer to God. You know, the inverse is true also. When we're not in conversation with God, when we're not in communication, in communion with God, when we're not talking with God, sharing with God, then we're not drawing near, we're drifting away. Praying reveals that we really want to be close to God, that he means something to us, that he's a priority in our life. Jesus got away habitually to pray while he was here on earth because he had a relationship with the Father, and he wanted to talk with him. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels, they make sure to record this part of Jesus' life so that we can see that this was a common practice for Jesus. So that we can see that this was important to Jesus, so that we can follow his example. Luke says very clearly in chapter 5, verse 16, he says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and what? And prayed. Jesus modeled what it looks like to be in a relationship with God. And that involves praying. That involves talking with God. That involves conversations with God. James tells us that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. This is James 1, no, 1:17 is coming later. This is James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Prayer is a big part of drawing near to God. And as we draw near to him, James says that he draws near to us. What a great picture. When we aren't praying, when prayer is not a consistent part of our life, we miss out on this closeness. And we drift away because we're not drawing near. I've noticed a few times in my personal life, a few different patterns that occur in times in my life when my prayer life is not as active. One of the things that I've recognized in my life is when life is just okay. When life's just going, when it's just life. There's nothing real stressful, nothing real threatening, there's nothing real exciting going on. It's just day to day. Wake up in the morning, go through the day, go to bed at night. And I've noticed that those are the times in my life when the prayer life kind of seems to dip a little bit. Because when things are stressful, when you feel threatened, you pray, don't you? I do. We were up, we were gone last week. We took, the trip was amazing. I have fallen in love with Boston, and I think I need to go visit Boston in the winter just to have a wake-up call that is probably really only nice for 2 months out of the year. But we were there just in the perfect time there. And then we went down to New York, and we stayed in Brooklyn. We did the Airbnb, and this isn't a commercial for them, but it was the first time we've ever done anything like that. I thought it was a big risk because you're staying in other people's places, and it's a lot cheaper than hotels. And you get a full thing, like a kitchen, and we got separate bedrooms, and we were supposed to have air conditioning, but that's another that's another story. But I had done my research. I had a cousin that lives up in New York, and so I asked him about different areas and the place where this particular apartment was. He said, yeah, that's safe. The Brooklyn's been renovated. It's been, you know, they've been cleaning it up quite a bit. And so we were like, okay, that'll be a safe area to go to. So we get off our long bus ride from Boston to New York, get on the subway, and that's a whole experience there. And we get off at our stop, and I'm careful to share this. But we get off at our stop, and we come right outside the doors of the subway station there. And right there are two men. One of them was, what, I don't know, at least, and I don't even want to say, at least 6 foot something, 6 foot six. Yes, he was tall. The heels helped. These men were dressed completely in drag, and not good drag either. Like, you could tell they were men. Like, you know, sometimes when, you know, you're like, I don't know. I think that's an Adam's apple. No, these guys, clearly men. Kiss makeup. I mean, it was just, it was a bad done. Everything about that was bad. And Isaiah, as we passed him, he said, Mommy, that man was wearing his underwear outside his pants. Oh, just keep walking. Just keep going. And we've got like a block and a half, almost two blocks. Our place was at the end of the second block that we walked, that we were going, and we're dragging suitcases, and it's dark at this point. It's almost 10 o'clock. And I mean, blaring out of these brownstone apartments, you know, down this street is like Bob Marley music, and you can smell substances, you know, and I mean, it's like, it's club volume, you know, you're feeling it in your chest as you're walking past their windows, and this was the place that had no air conditioning, so we had to have our windows open with all of this, but it was still a great vacation. So, but we're walking down, and there's no, like, street lights either. This the whole area is dark, and this is our first experience in New York. We had a teeny New York experience getting from the plane to the bus to go to Boston, but this was our inauguration into Brooklyn, New York. First time we'd ever been there, and we get settled in the apartment. The apartment's nice, and there's, you know, all the doors lock. And my plan was to go back out and grab some waters and some milk and some cereal and different. That's why we got, you know, an apartment, so we could save some money on breakfast. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to go out. The store I was going to go to is two subway stops away. And Jess was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I think so. I think I'll be all right. I've done the research. My cousin said this was a good area. The guy who owns the apartment said it's a good area and said we'd be safe. And it's just a different, you know. So she said, well, text me when you get to the store. Actually, text me when you get to the subway and then text me when you get to the store. I was like, okay, I'll try to do that. So we emptied out a suitcase because I was going to carry all the groceries in a suitcase. I had no idea how else I was going to get a whole load of groceries back to the, and I tell you what, I was praying. I was praying down that walk with that, you know, the suit, tick, the little suitcase down the sidewalk, you know, and you're hearing the wheels and that's all, you know, and the, in between the music, that's what I'm hearing. There's nothing and it's dark and I'm like, God, keep me safe. I did my homework, but it never helps or never hurts to have your help, to have your protection to keep me safe, you know. And when we do that, we pray when it's stressful. And there was nothing to worry about as far as I knew. By the end of the week, we were completely comfortable. It was just that first night felt weird. It felt different and scary, but it really was a safe area, and we were all fine the whole time we were there. But we do that. We pray when things are stressful, and we pray when things are exciting, don't we? I mean, when both my boys were born, I was praying and I was thanking God. They were both healthy and they were doing great and everything looked great and they were normal looking, you know, everything there. And I was thanking God. And when things are exciting, we thank God for those things. But the times when things are just kind of just life. And I don't think I'm alone there. I think that's common for a lot of people, is that you just don't do as much praying when there's nothing to really pray about. And we need to remember that we have a relationship with God. And He treasures those moments. And it makes me feel good in those times in my life when it is bland. And I'm still praying. And I'm praying just as much as I am at the other times. At those times, then it confirms to me that the relationship's real. Because I don't need some sort of a situational catalyst to move me to prayer. I'm just praying because I love God. Because I want to blow Him hugs. Because I'm thinking about Him. Because He's special to me. You know, another time in my life that I've recognized that. Oh, I feel like those little air floaty things. Am I back? I'm back. Yes, okay, good news. Another time in my life that I've noticed my personal patterns that I've noticed when the prayer life kind of dips a little bit, and this is fairly transparent, it's when I've got a bad attitude about things, or when I'm not quite behaving the way I should be, or not doing the things that I should be doing, and I feel myself withdraw. And I do it for two different reasons often. Sometimes it's pride, sometimes it's just guilt. Sometimes pridefully, I'll pull away because I know that the second I go to prayer with God, I'm going to be convicted of my attitude that I've got at that time, or I'm going to be convicted of the things that I'm not doing, or the things I should be doing differently, or whatever it is. And so I withdraw because pridefully I know, man, as soon as I come into God's presence, I'm going to be reminded of that, and I'm going to have to get that straight before we move on to some other things. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's delay this a little bit. Or sometimes it's the opposite feeling. It's that just overwhelming guilt. And it's a self-guilt, which is different than a Holy Spirit guilt. A Holy Spirit guilt draws us to God. When it's just my guilt, I feel that separates me from God sometimes. And I feel ashamed of who I am, or the things that I've done, or the attitude that I've had, or the thoughts I've had, or whatever it is. And I feel ashamed, and I just don't feel right going into God's presence when I'm like that. I don't feel like I can. I don't feel like I should. I don't feel comfortable being there with Him. And let me assure you guys, or assure you all, because I don't think it's just me. God loves us. And you know, I know in those times when I'm not right, when my attitude's not right, or my thinking's not right, or my behavior's not right, I still know that God loves me. And even though I'm going to have to face the music, and there's going to have to be some changes or corrections that happen, I know He's going to do it in the most loving way. Sometimes it's tough love, but it's still love. In the times when I feel guilty and I feel ashamed, and I know that He loves me. I know that His grace covers whatever I'm involved in, whatever I've been thinking, or whatever attitude I've had, and I know that His grace covers that. And it's His grace that started the whole relationship in the first place. So let me encourage you, whatever it is, because those are a few of my obstacles, and I think we might share some of those. You might have some different obstacles than I have, some other things that you've noticed in your life. These are the times when I'm a little distant from God. These are the times when I'm not praying as much, or here are the things in my life, the patterns in my life that accompany the times when I kind of push God away, or I kind of hide a little bit, or, you know, kind of like Adam and Eve hiding when God came through the garden. And identify those times, identify those places in your life, because they might not be the same as mine. And realize that no matter what obstacle you're dealing with, God loves you. And God treasures your communication with Him. He treasures your prayer with Him, your communion with Him. And don't hold back from that. Don't let anything interrupt your prayer life. See, we pray because we have a relationship with God. Yep. And this helps to develop a history of trust. That's why we trust. And we develop a history of trust because every time we trust Him, every time we talk with Him and pray about something and bring things to Him, we're reminded that He is the source of everything good. And our prayers are filled more and more with gratitude as we see all the good that He is. Let's write this down. History of trust. We acknowledge that God is the source of everything good. So we thankfully communicate our gratitude to Him. And this aids in learning contentment. What Walt was talking about last week, talking about contentment. To simply be grateful for what God has given you. To simply be thankful and content with what God has given you. And bringing this history of trust, constantly going to Him and being thankful and grateful for what He's done for you. That builds a resume, a God resume in your life. Not that God needs one, but we kind of need that from time to times. We need that history of trust where we know, these are all the times when God's come through for me. These are all the times when I've seen God work amazing things in my life. We need that. And the way you build that is prayers of thanksgiving. Going to God consistently, constantly with prayers of gratitude. Every time there's something great that goes on. I've had a lot of really, really neat things happen on a financial side of things because we've had some steps of faith we've taken there. And I'm dying to share some of all that's happening. I need to write it all down so that we can share it when we get to a financial message and we're talking about trusting God with our finances. But there's been a period there where there's just been Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. And if I haven't been bringing those prayers to God in gratitude, it's easy to forget that He's done things. It's easy to forget all the activity that He's been involved in. And so we bring our thanksgiving to God. We bring our gratitude to God. And here's where James 1:17 comes in. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We acknowledge this from time and time again when we thank God for things, when we go to Him with gratitude, and when we've experienced the truth of Jesus' words, when He said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, we can never repay God for the things that He gives to us. We can never pay for the things that are gifts from God to us. But what we can do and what we must do is we must bring Him an offering of thanks, an offering of gratitude, of just talking with Him and saying, thank you so much, even if it's just for knowing our name, as we sung earlier. It was really neat to hear the song selection. There's a a handful of things in the songs this morning that had to do with the message. Thank you. Thank you that you know my name. Thank you. Fill in the blank for you this week. So we have a relationship with God. That's why we trust him. And then we have this history of trust because we've been reminded time and time and time again of the things that he does for us. And that helps us with the here and now. With currently trusting. As we open this subject, let me remind you of a few passages in scripture that you probably have heard, probably have read. You know, after Paul lists the armor of God, the famous Ephesians chapter 6, you know, the whole armor of God, as soon as he finishes listing that, he connects prayer to that. Did you know that? Prayer is connected to these essential pieces of the armor of God to stand and contend for the faith, to stand strong in your faith, to be effective in your faith. Here's the full armor of God. And then he says, and pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people, for all the Lord's people. Directly connected to the necessary comments of actively contending for the faith is prayer. Paul again, he says in Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Paul writes this from prison. Talk about someone who's developed a history of trust and being able to be thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It goes beyond all understanding. It goes above any understanding that we'd have. Sometimes I have peace because of God that makes no sense at all. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is connected to our level of peace. Being able to give things to God. Being able, being willing to cast our anxieties on God. To trust in God because we have a relationship with him. To trust in God because we have a history of thanksgiving, of things that we've seen that he's done. And to be in whatever situation you're in right now and to currently trust him. To cast your anxiety on him. Peter says this. He says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let's write this down based on those scriptures we just read. We currently trust because we know he cares about us. So we humbly present requests and petitions as we cast our anxieties on God. Whatever it is, listen, church, whatever it is you're going through right now, whatever your current situation is, if it's stressful, if it's exciting, if it's, God's love doesn't change. He cares for you. And whatever it is, you can take that to him because he cares for you. You can cast your anxieties when you're dealing with stressful situations, troubled situations. You can cast your anxieties on him. Not something new for most of you, but please let me remind you because I don't know if we always do this. And we should. Cast your anxieties on God. Go to him with thanksgiving, but also don't be afraid to present requests and petitions as the Bible, as the scriptures we just read say. Go to God. He loves you. He treasures those conversations from you. He wants us to cast our anxieties on him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had his Holy Spirit tell the writers to write it in multiple places in the New Testament and Old Testament. It's throughout the Bible. Cast your anxieties on him. Give them to God. And know that prayer is a source of strength, a source of wisdom, hope, and protection. James says that if you lack wisdom, what should you do? Pray. If any one of you is in trouble, a separate section in James, what should you do? Pray. Paul asked for prayers when he was in danger. When Peter and John were in jail in the very beginning of the book of Acts, what did the church do? They prayed. When Jesus went to the garden, the night of his arrest, what did he do? He prayed. We're told that his soul was overwhelmed. I tell you, it would take an incredible amount of stress and pressure to overwhelm the soul of God living on earth. But we're told in Scripture, his soul was overwhelmed, and his go-to was prayer. His go-to was not only praying himself, but he asked his closest friends, come and pray with me. I'm having a difficult time, right? My soul is overwhelmed. Told that he was so stressed that drops of blood, his sweat was dropping as drops of blood. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. Cast your anxiety on him. If you're in a difficult situation, if you're in a difficult circumstance, and you need protection, or you need wisdom, or you're struggling with a temptation and you need strength, pray. Because if you remove prayer, if you remove that core component, if you take that one wooden block out of the Jenga puzzle, it will fall. It will crumble. Your faith will crumble without prayer. It is a core element of your faith. It is a core piece. And there's no reason not to pray. God loves you. He treasures your prayers. He keeps your prayers. He cares about you so we can cast our anxieties on him. You have a history, whether it's decades or for some of you just months or weeks. But if you've had any kind of a relationship with God, then you've got a history of thankfulness, a history of prayer, a history of trust. And he's come through for you so many times. So pray. Pray if you're going through something. Pray if you aren't. Pray. One quick note on prayer, and I can't talk about prayer. It's hard to talk about prayer without this one piece. And it's another place that we see prayer show up many times in Scripture. And that is the mission of Christ. Let's write this down. The mission of Christ is important, so we should pray for boldness. And that's a present exercise of trust, to pray. And to pray for the mission of Christ, to pray for boldness, to pray for the harvest, to pray that God would send out harvesters, to pray for boldness for God's church. And listen, we are all God's church. So when you're praying for boldness, you're not just praying for boldness for the missionaries that we love and support and love what they're doing in their countries. You're not just praying for boldness for the area ministers, the ministers of the His City, This City churches. No, when you pray for boldness for God's church, you're praying for boldness for yourself as well. We're praying for boldness for all of us, to boldly hold out the word of life as we shine like stars in the sky. So pray. Pray because you have a relationship with God and you love him and you want to draw near to him. Pray because you know that there are so many reasons to be thankful and to go before him with a grateful heart. Pray no matter what you're going through. And pray for boldness so that the church can accomplish the mission of Christ. Pray. I'm going to invite Julie to come on up. I've asked her if she would just play gently, and if we could go on and bring the side fills down and bring the lights down. And before we go into our time of invitation, I want us to just have a moment to take all of this in and to spend some time with God before we move on with the rest of our day, before we get distracted, and to just put this into practice and to just spend some time in prayer. And then I'll close us out after a few minutes.